We are on the subject of giving and generosity, and we answered the first question of, is the believer blessed? Are you blessed? Okay, so we are convinced. Are we convinced that we are blessed? All right, and then we went ahead and answered the question last week. Did God give the earth to us, or did he loan it to us? Did he sell it to us? And therefore, if he loaned it to us, are we supposed to be paying back in bits? Are we supposed to be sowing so that we can reap? And we went through different verses and scriptures from the Old Testament all the way to the New Testament, and discovered that there is no anywhere scriptures tell us that we should sow and then reap. So we concluded by saying God is a generous giver. So if you didn't listen to last week's sermon, or you are not around, please go and get that sermon on God being generous. And because he's generous, we can also be what? Generous. Amen? Come on, amen. Come on, amen. All right, so today I want to answer another question. How do you know you are generous? And I'm going to answer that question very straight so that I can spend the rest of the time trying to explain to you anyway the answer I've already given to you. Because it's very, 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 very easy to know that you are generous or not. Are you generous? Well, we're going to find out. Are you ready? Come on, are you ready? Now, how do you know that you are generous? I want to start from the book of Acts chapter 20. Can I have it in the Amplified if I can? All right? Amplified Bible. Acts chapter 20, verses 33 to 35. Can I have it in the Amplified Bible? Acts chapter 20, verses 33 to 35. Amplified. Please read the Amplified, okay? Don't read the King James in your Bible. Read with me, Amplified, because I want to show you something very, very important. Now, in verses 33, it says, I had no desire for anyone's silver. This is Paul. For anyone's silver or gold or expensive clothes. Let's go ahead. You know personally that these hands, everyone say these hands. Come on, let's say these hands. These hands ministered to my own needs. Everyone say my own needs. Working in manual labor and to those of the people who are with me. Now, next week I'm going to be talking about work. But right there from that scripture and from Genesis, you can put two things together. That you don't come to church to be taught how to be rich. But you can be like guided, like right now what I'm doing, I'm giving you proper information. Because if we come to church, like I've been saying, to get rich, we will wait until Jesus comes back home. So, but God has already put a system in place. And that system also involves you. And part of your role as a human being, not a believer, is that God has worked it that whatever you put your hands to work and do, it will multiply. Why? Because God has already put the resources in the planet that if you start planting something in the ground, seeds will come back and become a pineapple or matoke. So that's the system in the world that if you work something, it will multiply. So how are you going to prosper? By using your what? How are you going to prosper? You are giving up on me. How are you going to prosper? Sivaulira, how are you going to prosper? Okay? Not by me praying. Prosperity is not transferred. Now, you can get prosperity in maybe like in three ways. You can work with your own hands. Right? Or your parents, if they are rich, they can transfer the inheritance or the wealth to you. Or sometimes it can happen. You can be favored. Okay? And you find favor. Like Joseph found favor. Okay? And you get into a place quicker than maybe if you used your own strength. But prosperity is not transferred by prayer. Amen? Come on, amen? Now, somebody is going to go and say, but if you go in the Bible, but Joseph prayed for his kids. Jacob prayed for his kids. You go and read the Bible. Did they work? Yes, they worked. So even when I pray for you, you will have to go and do what? And do some work. Not wait for somebody to die and take their place. Or start praying prayers. They call them dangerous prayers, so that the wealth of the wicked can be passed on to the righteous. That is being a witch. You are now a what? You are now a witch. The common way to be rich for anybody under the sun is by work. So, if your parents have worked hard, you enter into it. But if they didn't work hard, or something happened, like for some of us, we work with our what? Our own hands. And if you are diligent and disciplined, that thing is going to be fruitful. Hallelujah. So Paul is saying, personally, these hands of mine minister to my own what? Needs. And for those people who are with me. Hallelujah. So you see how Paul, who wrote the gospel of grace, how he met his need with his own hands. Not through a magic word. No. Through with his hands. Okay, can we continue? Verses 34. 35, sorry. In everything, listen, I have shown you by example. By what? That by working hard, by working hard, in this way, you must what? Help the weak. So Paul is saying, like I've been telling you, like I've been saying it, that the reason for working hard is the second step to that, is give and help the weak. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. By working hard, in this way, you must what? Help the weak. By working hard is how you provide for your own needs. By working hard is how you support your family. Amen? Come on, amen? The writer of Proverbs say, lazy hands and poverty will crack into your door like a thief. So, he says, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, it is what? It is more blessed and brings greater joy to give than to what? Than to what? So, how do you know that you are generous? Write down. When your joy, purpose, and intentions in life is to see others blessed. Full stop. How do you know you are generous? When your Number one, joy, purpose, and intentions in life. Intentions in life is to see others what? Blessed. A generous person, their goal, their joy, their intention, their purpose is to see joy on the other end. Like somebody else is blessed. Somebody else is, the burden is lifted. Somebody else is made happy. Somebody else doesn't have to go through the struggle. That's a generous person. I've met a couple of generous persons in my own life. And one of the characteristics that I know is the joy. Even right now, I'm talking to that person. But the way they are too detached to material stuff will kind of sometimes make you think, is this a human being? They are very easy to let go. And their joy is to detach themselves from this thing and then see the other person be blessed. I was talking to one of my friends, and I know them. They are a very generous person. And we're talking this week and say, I want to get this money, and then if I get it, I'm going to divide it in two. I want to give you some so that I can remain with some. I've known that person for quite a very long time. They are very generous. And the money is his. But they want to sell something, and then when I get this money, says, I want to give you half of it, and then you stay with half of it. It's like their joy is to see me happy. That's how you know you're generous. In Genesis chapter 1 and verses 26, can we go there? Verses 26. Can we go back to... Yeah. And God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have what? Let them have what? Dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So, you see, God is creating this planet so that he can give it to somebody else. That is his joy. Let me create this man and let me give them over this beautiful earth that I've created. Like, doesn't God want to reign on the earth? No, his joy is that somebody else enjoys this good thing that he has put into place. It's like he wants to stand and see how you enjoy it. That's being generous. That the earth was not created for God. The earth was created for man. So now how do we start praying prayers that God meet my needs? In ignorance, we can pray like that. But in reality, that doesn't make sense. What is wrong is not God, is your head. Or let me say my head. Because if somebody gave this thing to me, then I can't be going back to him and asking him to give it to me. Touch your head. Is it hot? The hard drive is crashing. It's okay. Let it crash. By the end of the service, we will reboot. Did you see Jesus pray for any need while he was here? Did he pray for any need? Heal the sick. Even when he performed the miracles of what? Of bread and the two fish. What did he say? He says, I give you thanks. It's like, I know within us and amongst us, the provision is there. So I give you thanks because the provision is there. And in John, he would say, he told them, feed them because he wanted to see their response. Not because he didn't know that he would feed the 5,000. No, he wanted to see their what? Their response. So everybody says, what I need is here. Ah, you didn't say it very well. You say, what I need is here. Now, I know what you're wrestling in your hard drive is that, but we've been praying. We've been praying. What you're asking for is already here. You may not know who, where, how, but the need would be met, or should be met, or will be met. The more you keep on asking, is the more you continue to believe that the provision is not there. That's why the churches that pray for needs are Pentecostal churches. Other churches don't really pray for needs as much as we do. And guess what? Poverty is more. That spirit is more amongst Pentecostals, it seems like. Why? I think because of our understanding. God had said, I want to create this beautiful earth and give it. He says, everything. Do you see that? The sea, the cattle, the every creeping thing, everything in it. Let's give it to this man. And let them rule over it. Amen? And then in verses 28, he would say the same thing. Verses 28 says, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion. It's like you're repeating the same thing. Have dominion over the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth on the earth. Have dominion. So that's how generous God is. How do you know that He's generous? His joy and His purpose and His intentions was to see man happy. Blessed. Isn't that what He says? He blessed them. God's joy is to see you live a happy life. Now, how can you be praying for God so that you can live the happy life? And when His intentions in the very beginning, don't you know that it's somebody else who doesn't want you to be happy? Not God. God wants you to have a prosperous life. Can you say amen? All right. Somebody has got it. God wants you to have. So stop praying for a happy life. God wants you to have a happy life. Stop praying. If I survive this marriage, no. God wants you to have a happy marriage. If I survive this job, no. God wants you to be happy at that job. Determine. The circumstances may not be favorable, but the circumstances were not even favorable for Joseph. Joseph is the type of a believer. The type. But Joseph determined, whether in the pit, whether in Potiphar's house, whether in prison. Read the Bible. Joseph, the Bible says the hand of God was on Joseph, and everywhere he was prosperous. He was so prosperous that he went down, way down, and down couldn't hold him down and bounced him back to second in command. But Joseph was aware of that. So are you aware that you're blessed? Because you can be blessed and you're not aware, and you're treating yourself as if somebody who is not blessed. And that's why we come to church and pray those prayers that God, may I be happy, when God's intention from the very beginning was for you to be happy. Amen. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, and verses 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verses 18. What is my reward then? Paul is saying, verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without what? Charge. You see Paul's intention? Without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. What is Paul's joy? That somebody receiving this message may receive it without condemnation. My joy on this end is that somebody there may be blessed. Therefore, I won't charge. I won't tell you, bring your 10% so that you may enjoy the blessing of God. So that's not my joy. My joy is that you may receive it freely without charge. That's a generous person. If you're still selling your gospel, you are not generous. Are we together? Are we together? Verses 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself what? A servant to all, that I may gain the more. Verses 20. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I may gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I may gain them that are under what? The law. Verses 21. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to what? To Christ, that I may what? Gain them that are without law. Verses 22. To the weak I became what? That I may gain the weak. I have made all things to all men, that by all means send some. That is generosity. His discomfort should be a result of somebody's comfort. That is being generous. Can somebody say amen? Of course, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God didn't just give, but he gave his very best. He didn't leave anything unturned. He gave his only and only begotten son. That is generosity. Of course, Genesis 22 verses 12. Genesis 22 is where Abraham was what? Giving his son. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the what? The lad. Neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know. Everyone say, now I know. That thou fearest who? God. Seeing that you have not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham, in the demonstration that he had seen the resurrection, went to lay down his son. His son. Only son. And God says, now I know that you love me because you've not withheld. Who didn't come last Sunday? Somebody didn't come last Sunday? You didn't come last Sunday? I won't give you money. Come. Now I know that you've not withheld your only son. So this is what, Abraham, you want money? You want money? Can I give you money? You come. I want to give you money. Everyone wants, be there. Everyone wants to see how you want money. Okay. Come back. Did you see that? Did you see that? Bring my money back. When you are given so that you can give. Even naturally, our instinct, when something is given, and she demonstrated it very well, I demonstrated this last Sunday, and you've just proven my point, that naturally speaking,
Huh? I would say, no. It's only tried once. Don't strike the rock two times. But do not lay your hand on the lad, because I now know there is nothing you can withhold from me if I ask you. And that was a type of Christ being given to the world by the Father. And that is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he did not withhold him back, but he generously gave. That whosoever, the Bible says, whosoever believes in him will be what? Will be saved. So how do you know you are generous? How do you know? How do you know? When you want other people happy. So that means that you are working and you are toiling not for yourself only, but to see other men blessed. Isn't that right, Jeff? Isn't that right? That is being generous. Now, generosity is based on three things, okay? Really, three things. Like you can call them three principles if you want. Number one, the heart. Write down. The heart. And in Matthew 6, verses 19. Yeah. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon what? The earth, where moth, rust does corrupt, and where thieves break in through and what? And steal. Continue. But lay up for yourself what? Treasures in what? In heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and what? Nor steal. Verses 21. For where your treasure is, everybody, 1, 2, 3, there your heart will be also. So, number one, how do you tell your generous, your heart, where you put your treasures? That's going to tell us where your heart is. I love my wife. Okay, we do not disagree. But we are going to see where your resources go. And your time go. Will tell us whether you love your wife or not. Please, don't blah blah, I love my wife. Fine. We hear you. Let us see where your treasures are. Because when you invest something, or when you invest yourself in something, your heart will be there. I love Imitate Church. Let us see how much you've treasured yourself. Because when you treasure yourself in something, you will be there to watch. Am I right? Come on, am I right? So a lot of the times, it's the heart. You check the heart. Well, because you're where your treasures are, that's where your heart is. Totulimba. Nevi gambo. Your treasures will take us straight to where, to what matters in your life. Hallelujah. And then in verses 22, he will say, I think we stop at 21. Praise the Lord. Come on, praise the Lord. And then in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1. We're looking at the heart. It says, moreover, brethren, we make known to you the grace of our God bestowed on the churches of what? Of Macedonia. Verses 2. that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. You see that? What did we say? The proof that you are generous? The abundance of their joy, and in their what? Deep poverty abounded in the what? In the riches of their what? Of their generosity. Verses 3. For I bear witness that according to their ability, yes, and beyond their ability, they are what? Freely willing. Verse 4. Imploring us with much urgency that we would receive the gift and the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Verse 5. And not only as we had hoped, but, everyone say but, they first gave themselves to the Lord, the heart. They first gave themselves to the what? To the Lord. So your heart is key in being generous. Generous. If your heart is hard, you can't be generous. If your heart is broken, you will be generous. Hallelujah. Number two. How much is left after you've given, not how much you have given. How much is left after you have given, not how much is given. Mark chapter 12 and verses 41. Mark chapter 12 and verses 41 says, and Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put in what? Put in what? Money into the what? The treasury. It's like today we're going to give, and I sit there and I see what everybody is putting in. And many who were rich put in how much? Much. So let's follow. Then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites. Everyone said 2 mites. Which make a what? Quadrants, alright? Verses 43. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasure. Wait a minute. The rich put in, and this widow has put in 2 mites, and Jesus is saying she has given more. So first of all, before I go ahead, generosity is not measured by how much you've given. How do we check your generous? How much is left after you've given? Now let's continue in verses 44. For they all put in out of their what? Out of their what? But she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, for all that she had, her whole livelihood. Now, I went and I checked to see what 2 mites would be in today's currency. Shillings, it would be 7,000, that would be $2. About 7,600 shillings, I think. So this woman just gave 7,000. And Jesus said she was generous. Let's give an example. So God has blessed you with how, let's say like 10 million, right? He has blessed you 10 million. Maybe through business or through other dealings. 10 million. And then out of your generosity, he's saying, in a more, you're 10%. 10% of 10 million would be how much? 1 million. Okay, so in your eyes, you are generous. But just look at what is remaining. That's why tithing is not giving. Giving and tithing are completely two separate things. Because even in tithing, you are what? you are stingy. That is the truth. So how much is left? And I'm not just talking about giving to church. I'm just talking about generally in life. How do you give? Your resources. And we're talking about, in this case, money. But staying in the context, it was a church setting. And this poor widow, who had given 7,000, about 7,000 or 600, gave more. She was generous. So, check how much is left versus how much you've given, and it will always tell you whether you are generous. Are we together? That's a hard saying. There's a true story. The pastor said, this man came, they prayed for him. He was really looking for a job. They prayed for him and God blessed him. And before you were promoted, he was continuously tithing. All right. They were using tithing as a system. So one of these days got promoted, and then the pastor realized that he was not what? Tithing anymore. And then pastor called him one day and said, hey, brother so-and-so, we have realized that you're not giving. What's the problem? You know, are you not what? He said, no, everything is okay. In fact, I was promoted. He says, but pastor, I want to share with you, I'm having a very difficult time. He said, what are you having? The money that I have to give is now has increased. It's more. You get, before he was promoted, what he would give was what? Little. But now he's promoted, but now he's seeing if he has to give, it's quite a lot. And the pastor says, there is no problem. That problem can be resolved. Come, we're going to pray to the Lord, take away that job, put you back to a place where you can be able to give. He says, no, pastor, I will give. So you can see that a lot of the time it's the heart. Mitima jafe. Jakaluba. But otherwise, anybody can give, and you can read 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verses 2. We just read that. But the third thing or the last thing is that knowing that you came with nothing, and you go back with nothing. That is a very liberating thought, Mr. Miss. That wajja bukunya, erojja kudayo bukunya. In fact, it's people here on earth who decide how we're going to bury you. And for us here in Buganda, they have almost like determined that. Lubugo. Lubugo. Toja tumalira sente. Lubugo. You came with nothing, right? Right? You were born with nothing. And you are going to go back with nothing. So while you're here on earth, why don't you be generous? Gaba gaba ko. Amen. Kaba gaba ko. Sam, is that feels nice. Let your job be distributing and giving and making other people. Like Paul said, we have made other people rich. Did I read that? 2 Corinthians 6:10? 2 Corinthians 6:10. 2 Corinthians 6:10. It says, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. So my giving and being generous doesn't take from me. Amen? Come on, amen. Because you see, I found these things on the earth And I was blessed to be a steward for that season on the earth. But when I leave, I'm going to leave them behind. So while I am still in charge, let me distribute and make other people's lives happy. Generous. There are some children maybe are not going to school. I have the potential to support them and go to school. Maybe there are some people you have heard about. They have not paid rent for some days. And you have the money. He said, let's pray. Let's pray God will provide. You have the money. But you have the guts to tell the brother, let's join hands. Let's join. That's wicked. If I knew you have the money, I don't serve either. You get what I'm saying? Let's pray that God will clothe the poor. You have the clothes. You have the shoes. Some of her, I was going through Jasmine's wardrobe. She has clothes she doesn't want to put on. I says, give that away. Give that. I said, but dad, I want to see it. I said, what do you want to see it? I caught it. I distributed it. And I also do that with her mommy's wardrobe. I just go in there. I see clothes. What do you mean I don't have what to put on? Let me show you there is a lot to put on. What is this doing here? What is this doing here? That's... Are we here? How many have clothes that they don't want to give out? But they are not putting them on. How many would want to give out? You want to give out? Please, let's organize. Bring all those clothes and let's give them out. Don't give out what you don't want. Sister Catherine, I'm going to put you in charge. Everyone next week, go into your wardrobe this week. Get out clothes that you don't put on and shoes. Bring them on Sunday. We are going to find people to bless them with. Somebody goes in the wardrobe and they can't make a decision. But can we do that? Sister Catherine. She's in charge. Please bring every shoes, clothes, bangles, clean. Please iron them. Bring them here. We are going to find people that we can be a blessing to. And some are among us, and we are still praying. God bless that sister. Give them shoes. And yet you have many shoes. You have a shoe for Sunday. You have a shoe for Monday. Some people even have shoes for morning, and then shoes for evening. Start clear. Chitufu. There are prayers that we shouldn't be praying. There's a need I heard about. I actually just stumbled on it in my house church. And they heard about this need, and I got to know they took care of that need. We didn't even pray about it. And I wasn't even involved. I just found out. Just casual talk. Hey, we did this and this and that. We found out. Did. And the need was taken care of. Just like that. We hear about someone's need in a cell. We can do something about it. We don't need to call the pastor. We don't need to call the deacons. Take care of the need. A lot of the times, you have the manpower to do that. Amen? You hear someone in your cell, I've slept without food for quite a long time. There's no need for prayer. No need for prayer. Amen. Especially these days, things have been tough. But someone, by the time someone says, Mfa, Afa, things have been tough. My rent is in a couple of months. We're not saying pay their rent every day, but by the time they said it, it's tough. Pay attention. That's an opportunity to be generous. Amen? Come on, amen. So this is what Paul was saying. I've made many people what? Rich. And having nothing and yet possessing all things. Amen? What is he saying? Things don't possess me. Things don't possess me. I don't know whether you've been at the receiving end where somebody gave you something that was very expensive and you says, wow. I have. At our wedding, almost everything was provided for. There's a generous, something generous I did. I was in Singapore and this couple came. They are Ugandans, but we didn't have a relationship. But just because they are Ugandan, you know, I did something for that lady. Was very nice, even at the time when she was traveling. I did some things because they found us there, so I knew around. Eh, little did I know, in the future when I was going to get married, she offered two dresses for my wife. The gown and the changing dress. She says, I'm going to do that. Don't worry. She took care of that. I says, wow. Then somebody, a friend of ours, says, I'm going to do all the cakes. And they did all the cakes. And then one time, I was going to the bank, two story. I lost the money. I withdrew the money. And as I was coming, it was quite a lot of money. It was for food. Nezigua. So I thought maybe the bank had caused a trick. But I went back to the bank and said, no, we gave you the money. I called my wife there and said, I've dropped the money. So then, behold, a friend of ours who is also generous called me. I was still stranded in town, confused. He called me and said, how are the things of the wedding? He says, ha, I've just lost the money for the wedding. He said, how much? I'm for the food. He said, how much? I told them out. He says, come and get it at the office. And food, a couple of things on our wedding were paid like that. People who were just generous. And will I shock you? The people we thought would give didn't give to us. For those who are doing wedding meetings, the obvious usually don't give. Don't count on them. You get an heart attack. Say, no, ne mari no na ye. There is this old lady. I'll never forget it. She wasn't my friend in church. But this old lady gave generous. In fact, I think she's the one who actually contributed all the sodas. She was an old lady, not rich. But she gave generous to our wedding. And I was stunned. Just an old lady. And yet there were friends of ours who are rich. They withheld. Maybe saying like Katulave, how they are waiting. But I was on the receiving end. I was so blessed. We actually had three wedding meetings. One, two were introduction. The other one was just to do this. I'm telling you the truth. Because people were just moved to be generous. And just imagine you are the one on that receiving end. You'll be happy. This friend of mine who helped give me food, money for the food, one time I was helping a brother of ours on the wedding. And you are not going to believe this, but on the wedding day, on Saturday, I'd gone to pick the suits. First of all, the suits were taken because we delayed it to pay. So I reached there when the suits are what? taken. But I went there to just check when they're there. I didn't have the money. So I called this friend of ours and said, I have the situation. You know, brother so-and-so? Yes. They don't have suits. Then he says, how much? I told him how much. But he said, do they also have money for honeymoon? Have you paid for the photos also? Like, he asked three things. He sent me the money for the photos and says, you tell him to also come to my office. I give him money for honeymoon. I paid the money there at the shop for suits. They gave us different suits. Okay, this is the court. As a testimony, when you close that number, this is the court. I was the best man. And that's how the wedding was rescued. Saturday morning. Kalema, Saturday morning, sente za suti, te tunaba kuzisasula. You need a generous brother to bail you out. So ne nkwate suti, ne nzuluka, ne ngato. But the brother, I don't know whether he was in faith or not, but that was stupidity. You can't tell a sister you're ready when you're not ready. I was saying last time, the sister, double check. Esuti teali yo. So for him, I don't know what he was thinking. God will supply. But it wasn't God, really. It was mercy. It was mercy. And it's not his faith that worked. It was my faith. And I hope he doesn't give that testimony one day. That God supplied for his wedding. So, that particular day, we paid for the studio and for the suits and took care of what? And the wedding was not in debt. Because that brother just came in generously, handy. He brought in just enough that we could what? We could take care of. So, be generous. Because your generosity may be helping another. Brother, is this helping somebody? Don't be stingy. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verses 3. You came with nothing. You will go with what? With nothing. So while you're still alive, you may as well as share. Now, 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy. He says, if anyone teaches otherwise, and does not consent to the wholesome words, even to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with what? With godliness. Uh-huh. He is what? Proud. Knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over what? Words from which come envy, strife, reviling, and evil what? Suspicions, useless wrongings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose, look here, that what? Godliness is a means of gain. Gain, the Greek word there, gain, would be like godliness is a way to what? Prosperity. From such, withdraw. Huh? From such what? Withdraw. Come, there's a meeting, and come with your seed. Withdraw. Have you heard? If they steal you, rob you, don't come and cry to me. I've already told you, withdraw, for men who have already said that godliness is a means to what? To gain. They are saying that if you're rich, you are righteous. You are godly. You are powerful. You are walking with God. See glory. Have you seen that? See glory. What are they saying? The way you're putting on, or maybe the stage, see glory, say godly, from such, withhold yourself. Are we together? Let's continue, verse 6. Come on, verse 6. Now, godliness with what? With contentment is what? Godliness is what? With what? Godliness with what? Are you content? Huh? Someone says what? Somehow. Somehow you are what? Spiritually. Now, the word content would mean a mind contented with its lot. It's like you are not lusting. Lusting for stuff. And sometimes lust to an extent that you can do or you would do anything to have it. Lust will also be like, I had you, you have a need, but I have the money. But I am willing to ignore that need, but stay with the money. So, you be content. Content doesn't mean be content in the context of what I'm talking about. Like, be content in not having enough. That's not what we're talking about. Okay? Did we get that? Okay. But let's continue. Verse 7. It will make sense. Verse 7. For we brought nothing. You see? That's what he's talking about, contentment. For we brought nothing in this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. So be content. Because even what you have, you found it here. Amen. Or you will leave it here. So, Tobela Namululu, verse 8. And having food and clothing, with these, we shall be content. If you had, let me say, 100 clothes, in a week, can you put on 100 clothes? So, what Paul is saying, that if you have what to put on and what to eat on, that in itself is sufficient. But omululu, gokubelanga oinechika date nechipyo chagala, na yechika de twagala chita. He's saying that is not godliness. He says, having food and clothing, with this we shall be what? We shall be content. Okay, let's go on. But those who desire to be rich, that is verse what? Verse what? Those who will be desire to be what? Fall into what? Those who will last to be rich. Fall into what? Temptations and a snare or a trap. And into what? Many foolish and harmful lusts with drowned men in destruction. Actually, if you go into the Greek, destruction and perdition, the word perdition is double destruction. That if your pursuit and lust in life is to be rich, there's a trap. waiting for you. And that trap is you're going to find so many harmful lusts that have destroyed men, not once, but thrice. Can we continue? Verses 10. For the love. Okay? You see? It's the love. It's the lust. For money is a root of all kinds of what? Of evil. For which some have strayed from the faith. Huh? Like Judas. In their what? Greediness. And pierce themselves with many sorrows. Why do preachers twist the message? Greedy. You are willing to sacrifice your faith for a piece of meat. I mean, you're willing to twist the entire gospel of God so that you can get something to drive? I think something is wrong with your head. You should also go to Utarika because you came with nothing. Godliness is not equal to material prosperity. When we see you driving, it's not a sign that you're living by faith. What will we say with the richest people in the world who are not born again? Are they righteous? Not really. So you just see that it doesn't make sense for us to come here that if you're living where? Can you say, amen, you have the blessing of Abraham? If you're driving where? Can we say, you? If your business is making it, can we say that you are living? It's silly even to be talking about those things. Have you ever heard people who are not rich saying, now that we have money, we can also say we are righteous? They don't say those things. But for us, we say them. Tuinamalo, right? Someone that says tuinamalo. But you see that what has strayed people from the gospel is the love of money. I've never had anybody leave the church because they are teaching well. Nobody usually leaves because they are taught well. People leave. Even this church, people have left. Somebody left and says, I'm going because to the other side because my business receives more customers. I'm not deceiving. My business receives more customers, so I'm going to leave a church that teaches very well. Go to a church that doesn't teach very well, but it will support my business. You have substituted or brass for gold or material wealth for your spiritual well-being. You are not different from who? Esau. Who sold his birthright for a bow of beans. For just a momentary pleasure. Can we say amen? So, he goes on and continues in verse 11. Can we continue? Jump verse 11. Go to verse 17. Verse 17. Command those who are what? In this present age, not to be haughty. Can I get? Or proud, yeah. Teach those who are rich in this present who are not to be proud and not trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who does what? Who richly gives us all we need So how can we be praying, God, give me money? Can we go and can we read verse 18? Tell them, and he told me to tell you, tell them, use your money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always, always being ready to share with others. That scripture should be there every day. Can we read it together? This is your memory verse. This is your what? I'm giving you a memory verse. 1, 2, 3, let's read. No, don't tell me. Tell me. Tell Godwin. Tell me. Okay, so you read it to yourself, okay? You say Marino. You personality. Yeah, tell Marino. Okay, so you read it. When you're reading, put your name there, okay? 1, 2, 3, go. Tell Godwin. So how do you know you're generous? Mwezim. But how can we be church then and we be stingy? How can we be in church and be stingy? Or how can you hear such a good gospel like you're hearing this morning and you remain stingy? But why are people selfish or stingy? Why are people selfish or stingy? It's very clear from Genesis chapter 2, verses 16 to 17, is disobedience. Sin came in, and sin introduced selfishness. And man became what? Selfish. And you can see this when God was warning Cain, from killing his brother, and said, sin is knocking at your door. He says, if you do good, won't you be accepted also? So it's the hardness of heart that has brought about the selfishness in man's heart. Remove the hardness, man will be generous. So that's why Moses, in trying to help them with their hardness, introduced what? The 10% system. Because there were poor people that are coming. There were strangers coming. And they were not being helped. And says, okay, we're going to lay down a system. The 10 will be for the priest, helping people who are serving in the temple. Then the other 10 were going to help what? The widow. The other 10 were going to help what? The strangers. Eh? You know that Moses put there a system, there's a system that was called Jubilee. That in Jubilee, you canceled everyone's debt. I wish people who established the 10% could also establish the Jubilee. That there is a certain year where the church gives back at least 10% also to the members. But they left that out. But there was a system where if you had slaves and they were Israelites, you let them go back into their homes. If it was land, you let it rest. Jubilee. Because men's hearts were what? Hardened. So Moses introduced a system where people could what? Could give. Not knowing for us introducing that system in church, we are making people more stingy. Amen? Come on, amen? So I want to give you scripture examples. You can read them when you get back home. But there are examples in the Bible of people who are generous. For example, in Exodus 36, I'm not going to read this, Exodus 36 verses 1 to 7, they were building the temple, right? And then the people gave more than what was expected, that they had to be told, stop giving. In Chronicles, 1 Chronicles 29, verses 1 to 13, David gave more than he could ever give when he was preparing his son to build what? The temple of God. He gave more, and the elders gave more, and they rejoiced. And this is what they say. We are giving from what you have already what? Given us. We are actually glad that we are giving, because we are giving from what is yours. Another scripture I would give you, all the scriptures, please read them. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We read that one, right? From verses 1 to 7 and 8 to 9. These are all scriptures of generosity. And then John 3:16. John 3:16. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 15, which I went through last week. So those are examples in the Bible. You can ask, are there examples in the Bible of generosity? Yes, they are there. Of people who gave more than enough. What did we say generosity is? Generosity is willing to give help more than is usually what? Necessary or expected. Hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. So, in 1 Corinthians as we end, verses 16. First Corinthians 16:1. Are we together? Are you tired? Now regarding your question about the money being collected for God's people in Jerusalem. So you see, Paul was sometimes either collecting money for the needs of the people in different places, or sometimes he was collecting money to support the gospel. And in collecting that money, it's very clear he wasn't promising people that as you sow into my life, you are going to reap a blessing. No. Okay? So he's saying, you should follow the same procedure I gave to the churches in Galatia. So this is something that he does everywhere he goes. Amen? Okay, let's continue verses 2. On the first day of every week, of each week, you should each put aside a portion of the what? Of the money you have what? And through what? Your hands. Don't wait until I get there and then try to collect it all at once. What do you do? Verse 3. When I come, I will write letters of recommendation for the messengers you choose to deliver your gift to Jerusalem. So there is accountability, saying this money is not actually going to me, into my ministry. Godwin says his ministry. No. Bring somebody with that gift and they will tell you where that gift has gone. Amen. And then he says, verses 4. And if it seems appropriate for me to go along, then they can also what? Travel with me. So this person is willing to also come and follow where the gift is going. Verse 5. I am coming to visit you after I have been to what? Macedonia, for I am planning to travel through Macedonia. So you give as you've been what? As you've been prospered. Be generous. How has God blessed you? Don't wait at the end of every month. No. God can give you money in a week. God can give you money in a day. God can give you money at the end of the month. However he is blessing you, the scriptures are saying, because you've freely been given, freely also give. Amen. And don't be attached to material things. Because the reason why you've been given is so that you can give. Are we together? Come on, are we together? So, why do we give? Brother Brian, can you give me that slide? Why do we give? Very quickly. Why do we give? What do you give? What do you give to in your local? No. What do you give towards your local church? Okay. Number one, needs. Okay. There are needs like the poor, like I've just talked. By the way, let's be serious. Are we bringing in the clothes? Yeah. Let's bring this up. There are poor people or there are needy people that we should what? Give towards to. There are admin costs like the rent, like so many things that sometimes just disturb us. Like you've heard the sound has been disturbing us. So those are admin costs. Sometimes there are people who help out. We do what? We facilitate them. Okay? And then there's one I don't think I have time to talk about, is the pastors. And specifically, the Bible says, those who what? Labor in the word. So if they don't labor in the word, you're not obligated either. But if these men are laboring in the word, the Bible says, do what? Yeah, double honor or pay them well. Because they are doing the work of the ministry. It's hard work. You didn't get the time to get in all those scriptures, but somebody didn't sleep and they're trying to put together all this information so that it can make sense to you. That is work. There's this idea that people who usually are in manual work, when they see people in the offices, if you ask me, I'd rather be outside than in. There is a lot of work that goes into making sure that the entire engine is working. So the people, I'll talk about it maybe next year, but we take care of the pastors and then we take care of the what? Of the gospel. And those are three areas where you're going to see in the scriptures from Genesis to Revelation where the Bible recommended the believers to give. It was towards those three things. The needs, the pastors, and the gospel. And there was accountability like you saw a lot of the times. Amen? Come on, amen? Are you together? Amen? So if you're giving to this church, or you're being generous to this church, we're saying this is where, or this is what you give to. Amen? Okay, amen. Let's go to the next slide as we end. So God's plan in everything he did was giving towards the gospel. So you can see from number 1 up to number 10, the rescue plan was on. From Noah all the way to what? To the apostles and us. That's where the money went. To do what? To make sure that the message reaches us. Amen? Amen. So, when it reaches us, what do? We also do the same. Give so that someone may be at 20. I don't know who that will be. Will receive the message because of our generosity. If the people in Paul Apostles' time, they didn't give, probably the gospel would not reach us. Amen. But they gave because the message had to reach us. And also take care of the people who were taking the message. Amen. And along the way, like you had Paul, take care of the needy people. Like the poor people. Like the people who don't have. Amen. Next slide. So, you can see that from God's original plan, like we've read in the Bible, was to what? Fill the earth, multiply it, be fruitful. When the fall came, that's where we see the greediness or the stinginess. But God's heart was to bless the entire world. Do you see that? So what do we give to after the fall? Can we go to the next slide? We give so that the gospel can reach what? The entire world. When I come here every day, I know there are needs, right? Like we're going to do that. We meet towards the need. I know there are people who are working in this place, like really work hard to make sure that the gospel reaches us. We give towards those things. But ultimately, we do all that so that the gospel can go all together. Someone said, what are we giving to? I've never had you guys here in this church. Do you have a building plan? Do you have something substantial? Do you have, show me, is that techiriyo, right? Right now, I don't see that it's a need. But right now, for me, what I call the need is to build a house. Which house? That every house on this planet can hear the gospel. That's the house we are building. If you ask me, Pastor, what house are we building? That's the house. The picture I can give you, close is the next slide. Close. Run, the next slide. It doesn't really paint a picture, but can you see that every house on this planet has had the gospel? If you ask me, what are you giving to? We are giving so that the message can reach every house in Uganda, every house across the globe. And God help us, as we're still alive, the glory of God covers the entire earth. Now, it doesn't mean that we won't take care of administrative costs, which are not, for me, major, like a building. For me, those are not major. If a need comes, so be it. But the gospel will not stop because the church doesn't have a location as a building. The gospel will stop if we do not support it or we don't support the messengers. Are we together? Come on, are we together? Are we together? So what are we giving to? What are we giving to? So that if somebody asks you, what are you giving to? So that every home on this planet, on this globe, can get the opportunity to hear the gospel. Amen? There's a video I want to show you. Can we get that video? It's maybe like about 3 minutes. But can we, it's a very lights off, so that you can see it very well.